Pachuca is doing well. Like I said, it's been 10 years. And this is the third church. I can explain. This is the third church that we've established there. There's been three churches established. Two prior ones disappeared. I mean, we began to work. We had a group. And they leave. We began again. We had a good group. And they leave. We have a group now, and I hope we go home. They're still there. But the honest truth is that when I come, when I'm away, I go back and I hear a lot of great things that happen. People stand up, they get testimony, get to saved, and why don't they do it when I'm there? We want to see so much all of those things. The church is doing well. It's a small church. It's about four or five families. Faithful ones. Finally, they understood the importance of faithfulness. Three men out of those families that I mentioned have manifested a desire to pastor. And Ray and I are thinking that we'll be there year, maybe two. Want to leave them ready. Want to leave them in. Not only one pastor, we want to leave. We want to leave two pastors established, recognized. And we're talking about, we've been talking about, you know, where's the next place. No one is unanimous with me as far as when I say Mexico City. No one wants to go there. Kelly says she'll go, but once the kids are grown and moved out of the house. We've been talking about Tlaxcala, small city, and we've lately also been talking about Jalapa, Veracruz, which is northeast, 2 or 3 hours northeast of Mexico City. And we have to visit that place, but that's where we're considering. We're going to go back. I'm going to go back, and Noe and I, my co-worker from missionary from León, we're going to plan a trip. Go check it out. It's going to be a difficult move this next time, but because by what I understand, Mike and Susan will have decided to stay there in Pachuca. I've been around him for a long, long time. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for Kelly. It's going to be hard for me. It's going to be hard for kids. So I ask you all to pray for that. Those are some of the things that the church is going through. Another thing I wanted to do before I begin my message is that this morning I was speaking to my dad. My dad is visiting here in San Antonio. He comes here annually for his checkup over at Wilford Hall. And he caught me by surprise this morning. He was saying, you know, son, I've lost my eyesight. We have some sleeping gear done, laser in his eyes. They ruined his eyes. They burned him. And so he's lost one eye completely and the other one 80%. But he's not safe. And he told me, you know, I don't go out anymore because sunlight bothers me. I don't watch TV anymore. I can't read. That was a passion. He used to love to read. And so all I can do now is listen. And I've been listening to radio, Christian radio station. And he said that some of the messages have been touched with him. I don't know what he's been listening to. No, I'm not trying to. get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And it's all by getting, get understanding. I won't be the one to preach about wisdom. I feel like I'm that. But this verse has touched me. I shared it with the young people in the camp that we had over at Tumba. I tried to be sharing some of this over at the church over at Pachuca. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. All by getting, get understanding. Even though it doesn't seem like a passage that has to do with sending out the gospel, wisdom is necessary. Can't just be done. Gospel preaching, as the Bible says, that is the wisdom of God. We talk about grace, and I don't minimize, I mean, thank the Lord for His grace, and thank the Lord for His mercy. Nevertheless, not all the things come by grace. There are things that we need to work for. Fruit. The fruit that we so anxiously want to see. It's not going to come by just sitting down. Work needs to be done. Holiness. So rare in these days, even in Christian churches. Doesn't just fall from the sky. Holiness is something that you need to acquire. You need to look for. But you need to strive for. I've for many years been with different co-workers. It was a great year with Adrian, with Michael. A lot of wisdom there. Mike, I remember those years in West Kansas, fellowship that I've had with several of them. And I see a lot of wisdom in that. You don't get wisdom just by rubbing off. I wish it was that way. You know, rub off. I've been working with my father-in-law, and you think I learned how to work a drill gun. Some things need to be acquired. Wisdom needs to be talking about any kind of wisdom. I'm talking about a rare one. I'm not talking about worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom. I'm not talking about that. There's a bunch of that now. They don't impress God. As a matter of fact, it makes men proud. God tends to resist those who consider themselves wise. I'm not talking about human wisdom. I'm talking about superior wisdom. I'm talking about divine wisdom. So strange, so rare, the God of His Word says that its merchandise further than silver or gold, greater than rubies. The previous chapter, Proverbs chapter 3, says so great that
like it was answered without hesitation.
Give me wisdom.
You think he had it? It was true. This is truly something great. I see the lack of it in my ministry, in my life, in my marriage. I see how families suffer because of lack of it. Families, Christian families, suffering. Churches suffer because its ministers lack wisdom. Churches are suffering. I was looking at the list. 24 churches, more or less. A lot of them suffering. Danger filtering in them. Bad doctrine.
Or just like whole witness to the Mormons.
Men are confused. Pastors are being confused. Churches are being confused. How much do we need?
If there is anything
that the apostle reads in that chapter,
anything that you desire does not compare.
There's nothing you could have or that you have that compares
with the wisdom that God is setting aquire. I believe God nowadays to us, the churches, is saying, acquire wisdom.
God is saying acquire, he's saying you do not have it. You think you have it. And it reminds me of that verse and that letter to one of the churches in the book of Revelation. You are not wise. But we think we are. But God is saying acquire wisdom. Get wisdom.
Of all things, get wisdom, get understanding.
It's a short thing I want to share with y'all. He's saying, above all things, you don't only need wisdom in your list. Wisdom needs to be above all things. And I got to thinking, man, I have a list of things I know that I need to acquire. Security for the future, right? Family, all that. And, man, kids going to college one day. How am I going to do that? I'm going to pull it off. And I have a list. Where does wisdom fit? Halfway through my list. Big mistake.
It's going to be in the bottom of my list. Is it in the bottom of your list? Is it halfway through your list? If it's anywhere but wisdom, just trying to understand it and be able to that allows us to see everything in the right perspective. His wisdom is a magnifying lens that allows us to see things, everything, in the right perspective. That is not the lens that we're not looking at life the right way. Work is at the top of the list. Anything else, but we're not looking at it right. Even if family is first, we're not looking at it. We're not seeing what God wants. Having God's wisdom. Really having God's wisdom will allow us to see things the way He sees them. I think we live in times where we don't see things the way God sees them. I know it may sound a little bit cocky. I don't know. Don't take it wrong. The last time I was here, I shared with y'all the words that shook me and still shakes me. I shared Romans chapter 14, verse 1. It says that God died and resurrected and lived again. He did that to be Lord. To me, reading that verse, that solves everything. That's going to put any doubt. That's going to clear any doubt. He died not only to save you, He died so He could be your Lord. That means that after this, everybody's going to obey. And the church is going to revive. And the gospel is going to be sent out. Having God's wisdom will allow us to see. It has such a joyous tune to it, doesn't it? I mean, I was almost like, launch out! I've never heard this, so I can't. But it has a, but it says it's so persistent. What is the joy? Joy in sending it out, I understand, but we don't see the way. Me, that only speaks of us as not having much. We want it. We have the wisdom of the world. We want it. God says, get it. Get it back. Having His wisdom will allow you to see the way He sees. Having His wisdom will make you think like He thinks. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. But when you get God's wisdom, He can say, there's no doubt He's saying now. Now is not later. Someone else. I think I've shared this with y'all, but what led me to the ministry was not that I heard that God was calling me, was that I heard conference after conference God calling, and I could see people that I was certain He was calling, and they would drop the ball. No one else wants to. You've got to. Having God's wisdom is going to hold on. Sometimes I lose. I need a love in the church. There's nothing else. Above all things,